What if the next generation of advanced robotics, from warehouse automation to humanoid assistance, depended almost entirely on a supply chain that could be disrupted overnight? That's not a hypothetical. For companies like Boston Dynamics, it's a strategic vulnerability they are racing to solve right now. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're diving deep into the world of advanced materials. It's a space that's undergoing a quiet revolution, moving from discovering materials to designing them atom by atom. We'll look at how AI is accelerating this process, creating new opportunities for Western manufacturers. But we'll also examine the flip side, how our most advanced technologies are becoming critically dependent on a few key materials, creating a new geopolitical battleground for supply chain dominance.
Precisely. We'll cover the computational design behind a new supersteel, the race to secure rare earth magnets, and the smart materials that are starting to act more like muscles and thermal batteries.
Let's start with that design revolution. A new course was announced by MIT Professional Education on May 15th called Generative Multiscale Materials Design. Troy, that's quite a mouthful. What does it actually mean for a manufacturer in Ohio or Bavaria?
It means we're shifting from a slow trial and error process of materials discovery to a rapid AI-driven process of invention. Multiscale means the AI considers everything from the atomic structure up to the final system's performance. Generative means the AI doesn't just analyze existing materials, it proposes entirely new ones with specific properties like high strength or thermal conductivity.
So instead of a chemist mixing things in a lab hoping for a breakthrough, you have an algorithm designing the perfect alloy on a computer.
Exactly. It's an autonomous workflow. It shortens development cycles from years to months or even weeks. For US and European manufacturers, this is a massive competitive opportunity. It allows for the creation of proprietary materials tailored for very specific applications. Think lighter aerospace components or more efficient battery materials.
And is this just academic or is it happening now?
It is absolutely happening now. Look at the announcement from MIT News on May 20th. A high-performance steel, designed computationally at MIT, is being used in their 2026 electric race car. This isn't just any steel. It was originally designed for helicopter gears and has already been proven in Formula One and the Baja 1000 endurance race.
So what makes it special?
It has what engineers call a dual property characteristic. Through a proprietary alloy composition and heat treatment, it achieves an incredibly hard, wear-resistant surface while maintaining a tough, fatigue-resistant core. This is the holy grail for high-stress mechanical parts.
So for Western trading companies, what's the takeaway?
The takeaway is that the value is shifting. It's not just about sourcing bulk steel anymore. It's about identifying and securing these computationally designed, high-performance materials. Partnerships with research institutions and specialized foundries will become critical. Executives need to be asking their R&D teams, are we leveraging these AI design tools? Because if you aren't, your competitors soon will be.
This leads directly to our next topic, a critical dependency. A new market report projects the neodymium iron boron magnet market will hit $24.9 billion by 2033. Troy, why is this specific type of magnet so important?
These are rare earth permanent magnets, or NFEB magnets. They are pound for pound the most powerful permanent magnets known. This strength to weight ratio is what enables the high performance, compact electric motors that power everything from a Tesla to a wind turbine to a modern industrial robot.
And that's where the problem comes in. An article from May 17th highlights that Boston Dynamics, famous for its Atlas humanoid robots, sees this reliance on rare earths as a major supply chain threat.
It's a massive vulnerability. The processing of rare earth elements is overwhelmingly concentrated in a single country. Any geopolitical friction, trade policy shift, or export restriction could cripple the production of advanced robotics, EVs, and defense systems in the US and Europe. The demand is exploding, but the supply chain is fragile.
So what are Western companies doing about it?
They're fighting back on two fronts. First, building non-Chinese supply chains. In the U.S., companies like MP Materials and Novion Magnetics are working to establish integrated domestic chains, from mine to magnet. In Japan, Sojitz is collaborating with Australia's Linus Corporation to diversify its sources.
And the second front?
Technology. The goal is to design magnets that reduce or eliminate the need for the riskiest heavy rare earths like dysprosium and terbium. Japanese firms like Proterial, formerly Hitachi Metals, are leaders here, developing magnets that maintain performance with less of these critical elements.
What's the actionable insight for executives here?
This is no longer just a procurement issue, it's a C-suite level strategic risk. You need to map your supply chain's exposure to rare earths, not just for your direct purchases, but for the components you buy, like motors and actuators. And for trading companies, the big opportunity is in sourcing from these emerging alternative supply chains in the US, Australia, and Japan. Getting in early with these new producers could be a significant long-term advantage.
Let's zoom in from the macro supply chain to the micro level of electronic components. On May 16th, Japanese giant TDK announced innovations to tackle a problem called crosstalk. What is that and why does it matter?
Crosstalk is signal interference. Imagine you have a high-density circuit board and a 5G module or an IoT device. The signal lines are packed so tightly that the signal from one can bleed over and corrupt another. As frequencies get higher and components get smaller, this problem gets exponentially worse, causing errors and device failure.
So how is TDK solving it?
With advanced material science. They've developed proprietary ferrite materials that act as tiny magnetic shields. These materials are integrated directly into their multi-layer capacitive couplers. They essentially absorb the stray electromagnetic energy that causes crosstalk, isolating the signal paths. It's a highly sophisticated, materials-based solution to a fundamental physics problem.
This seems to connect to a deeper breakthrough from MIT, published in Science on May 19th. They've managed to map the 3D atomic structure of a class of materials called relaxer ferroelectrics. Is there a link?
A very strong link. Relaxer ferroelectrics are critical for next-generation sensors, memory, and capacitors, the very components TDK is working on. Their powerful properties come from a complex, disordered atomic structure that, until now, we couldn't see in detail. Using a technique called multi-slice electron pitography, MIT researchers can now map these atomic irregularities.
And what does seeing that structure allow you to do?
It allows you to understand why the material behaves the way it does. This atomic-level data feeds directly into the computational models we discussed earlier. It allows US and European firms to stop guessing and start precisely engineering these materials from the atoms up for specific properties, like better energy storage or sensing capabilities.
So for a European distributor of electronic components, what's the play?
Pay close attention to manufacturers like TDK who are embedding these advanced shielding materials. Signal integrity is becoming a key differentiator. And look for components that leverage these new computationally refined ferroelectrics. They will enable a new class of smaller, more powerful, and more reliable devices. The action for executives is to get their engineering teams to evaluate and qualify these next-gen components now to get ahead of the design curve.
Finally, let's talk about materials that do more than just sit there. An article on May 20th reports that Harvard researchers have developed 3D printable artificial muscles. This sounds like science fiction.
It's moving quickly from fiction to reality. These aren't just flexible materials, they are active. The research has combined two types of elastomers, an active one that changes shape with heat, and a passive one that constrains its movement. By 3D printing these in precise patterns, they can program movement directly into the material itself.
What's the application for a manufacturing company?
Think about soft robotic grippers on an assembly line. Instead of a complex, heavy metal claw, you could have a lightweight, 3D-printed gripper that can gently and adaptively handle delicate or irregularly shaped objects, like produce or complex electronic assemblies. It means simpler, cheaper, and more versatile automation.
And this theme of active materials extends to thermal management, too. We saw two reports on phase change materials, or PCMs.
Yes, a review from Deakin University on May 22nd and a breakthrough from India's ARCI on May 21st. PCMs are materials that absorb and release large amounts of heat when they change phase, for example, from solid to liquid. They act like thermal batteries. The Indian team developed a new spinel nanocomposite PCM that increases specific heat capacity by a remarkable 45%.
A 45% improvement is huge, but what does that mean in a real product?
It means more compact and efficient thermal storage. A great simple example was in an article from May 17th about motorcycle jackets. Micro-encapsulated PCMs are embedded in the jacket's fibers. As the rider gets hot, the PCMs melt and absorb that heat, cooling them down.
When they get cold, the PCMs solidify and release heat, warming them up. It's a passive, self-regulating system.
So how does this scale up for industry?
The ARCI material is aimed at large-scale applications, like storing energy from concentrated solar power plants or capturing industrial waste heat. For a European factory, this technology could mean capturing heat from a furnace and using it later to heat buildings or water, dramatically improving energy efficiency. The actionable insight is to start investigating PCM solutions for both product design, like in electronics cooling, and for industrial process efficiency. This technology is mature and offers a clear ROI.
Troy, an incredible amount of ground to cover this week. If you had to boil it down, what are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, computational material design is no longer a future concept. It's a present-day competitive weapon. As we saw with the MIT Design Steel, this approach delivers superior performance. Executives must invest in the talent and tools to integrate AI-driven design into their R&D, or risk being out-innovated.
Second,
the rare earth supply chain is a critical strategic vulnerability for the entire Western high-tech manufacturing sector. The projected $24.9 billion market for neodymium magnets underscores the scale of our dependence. Companies need to actively support and engage with emerging non-Chinese suppliers like MP Materials and investigate technologies that reduce reliance on these elements.
And the final takeaway?
The future of product innovation lies in active and smart materials. From Harvard's artificial muscles to advanced PCMs that act as thermal batteries, materials are becoming functional components in their own right. Manufacturers and distributors should be actively scouting these technologies to create next-generation products with built-in intelligence and responsiveness.
Troy, thank you for the analysis. The race to design, source, and deploy the next generation of materials is clearly heating up.
A pleasure, Susie.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. To make sure you never miss an insight, find and subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join us again next week for your strategic technology update.